It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Happy Friday. I am Kim Munson. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. Check out our website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Great show planned for you today. In studio with me is my friend Rick Turnquist. Rick, it's always great to have you here.
Good morning, Kim. It's always great to be here.
We're going to have some important conversations. You've written a really excellent op-ed. It is at my website, kimmunson.com. Energy and Mobility, the Democrat War on Modern Life. You know, I think that we take our modern life for granted.
Well, we really do. And unless you're a student of history, you don't recognize that, until about 1800, humanity lived in, most of humanity lived in abject poverty. We lived in, wooden structures and maybe brick structures. We didn't have hot, electricity, hot and cold running water, indoor bathrooms, the amazing healthcare system that we have today. So, until the advent of the Industrial Revolution, life on Earth was nasty, brutish, and short. And, we have amazing lives now thanks to what I call the pillars of modern life. Fossil fuels, limited government, and free market capitalism, and the left wants to tear all that down. So I've expanded on that theme a little bit further in this latest piece, and it specifically addresses energy and mobility, two of the things that power our modern life and two of the things that Democrats are at war against.
And so it's a very important piece. Transportation, the freedom of mobility is very important to me. I've seen that war on the freedom for everyday people to be able to move around. And you see this through trying to push people into trains and buses and ride on bikes and walk around. And it's like, really? Let people make their own choice on that. But for some reason, the elites think that everyday regular people, the serfs, I guess, should ride around on all this public transportation stuff or stay home. But yet they would not do that.
Right. Well, they drive their cars to the Capitol to enact all their terrible laws. I know of one legislator who supposedly rides public transportation, but the rest of them drive their cars, park in their reserve spots at the Capitol, and the elites fly their private jets to to Switzerland to talk about the climate, mm-hmm. right? Billionaires like Michael Bloomberg and Al Gore and Tom Steyer live in multiple large houses, with I'm sure giant carbon footprints, and they drive, they ride private planes and heavy cars and mm-hmm. SUVs and so forth. So, there's no end to hypocrisy when it comes to the left and energy use. And the fact of the matter is there's basically everything we enjoy in our modern lives is made possible by or derived from fossil fuels. So to think that we can, keep it in the ground and do without is quite irrational. And there's a book I recently discovered. It's by Stephen Moore and Kathleen Hartnett White, which I talk about in the blog post, and it's called "Fueling Freedom: The Mad War on Energy." The left's mad war on energy. I highly recommend this book to everybody. It's a few years old, but it still talks a little bit about energy, what types of energy there are, the cost of energy. For example, coal was such a gateway fuel because it's so energy dense. It has a lot of energy, and it far replace a small amount of coal replaces a large amount of wood. And, deforestation was a real problem before we started using fossil fuels. And I don't think the left and the environmentalists realize that.
Well, and I've had Dr. Patrick Moore on, who had been one of the original founders of Greenpeace. And he's a sensible environmentalist, if you will. And he said that if, in fact, we would move towards shutting down fossil fuels, that we would start to see the deforestation of our planet.
Well, and shutting down fossil fuels is not a realistic thing, and nor is it a desirable thing, because you know, the cost of energy would go up. There's environmental costs related to so-called renewable energy, wind power and solar power, and neither one is capable of replacing fossil fuels for the base, you know, the basic things we need. You know, data centers that drive the internet, you
right,
know, consume a large amount of electricity, and you know, Google, my understanding is Google tried to go completely green to power their power centers or their data centers, and it completely failed. So, you know,
actually, that might have been a good thing. So, let's go ahead. Let's save some of this for segments 3 and 4 because we are really going to delve into that. As we look at these issues, Rick, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And if something is a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people. You should be able to persuade in the battle of ideas. But if your ideas are not good ideas, then you have to use force. We're seeing that down here at the State House. I mean, I really think that Colorado is at the forefront of pushing through all of these very, very bad, forceful policies. I know that California and Oregon are a little bit out of their minds, New York as well. But we're giving them a run for their money here.
Well, you know, unfortunately, the voters saw fit to elect a Democratic majority in the last election. And, you know, I think between last session with so many terrible bills and this session with another, you know, one of my friends said he thought that this was a pretty mild session. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Have you not been watching?
Yeah, there's no... you know, there's no big red flag bills or, you know, assault weapon bans or anything like that. But there's still some pretty bad bills out there. I took a scroll through the website the other day to look at all of them. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. You know, some between the frivolous and the, you know, basically completely ridiculous. There's a lot of bad stuff being debated under the Gold Dome right now.
And we are working every day to shed light on this because as we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Socialism ultimately comes down to force, and I've seen the meme, producer Steve's mentioned it, that you can vote your way into socialism, but you're going to have to fight your way back out of it. Steve, do you have a quick comment?
No.
Okay.
Because you guys are spot on. I just cringe at the expectation, the forecast, or who's going to win Super Tuesday, you know, Colorado piece of it, and thinking, all right, we've got these people running around the state who think Bernie's it. And, you know, you stop and think about it. You listen to, I mean, they're usually of a younger mindset. They're more attracted to the freebies that Bernie's talking about. And I really believe in my heart, they don't have a clue about what socialism really means.
I think that's totally true. And we'll talk about that Bernie's plan here in just a little bit. Before we do that, though, always like to say thank you. You know, thank you to people that work hard, strive for excellence. This team that I get to work with is pretty amazing. Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, thank you to you and you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, go out and strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So first thing on our inspiration, you are a fan of Arthur Laffer. You've been reading one of his books. Which book is that?
It's called The Wealth of States, How Energy, Worker Freedom, and Taxation Changes Everything, something to that effect. It's
okay.
A long title. I don't have it fully memorized.
Okay. Good book, though. So Arthur Laffer is an American economist and author who first gained prominence during the Reagan administration as a member of Reagan's Economic Policy Advisory Board. Laffer is best known for the Laffer curve, an illustration of the concept that there exists some tax rate between 0% and 100% that will result in the maximum tax revenue for government. In certain circumstances, this would allow government to cut taxes and simultaneously increase revenue and economic growth. That's the sweet spot, and that's where people really thrive and prosper because it's keeping government limited. And people, I think, realize that there is a reasonable amount of taxes they pay to, you know, make the government work. And there's limited things the government's supposed to do. Once it gets outside that box, we start to have problems. This is Arthur Laffer's quote. He said, "It is not true that Congress spends money like a drunken sailor. Drunken sailors spend their own money. Congress spends our money." That was the quote drummer. That was not the funnies, okay? Are you ready for the funnies drummer?
Bummer.
That was funny, though.
Let's cue that up again.
So I was, we're talking about capitalism, socialism, and so I'm always searching for jokes. So I kind of changed this around, but I thought this was a good definition for our young people, okay? So burger definitions. Burger capitalism, have it your way, okay? Burger democracy, have it the way the majority votes. Burger dictatorship, have it the way I say. Burger socialism, pay for the other guy's burgers until you run out of money. Burger oligarchy, 1% have it their way. Burger anarchy, have a battle over the burger. And burger communism, there is no burger. Okay, I want to talk about the bill of the day that Patty has pulled here. It's House Bill 2013-15. Now, you know, Rick, down at the State House, they say we want to have fewer cars on the road and we want people to carpool. And you've seen these government programs, you know, they buy the vans and way to go and, be sure and carpool. Well, capitalism has come up with a great idea, an app for carpooling. But guess what? Down at the State House, they said this is a HB 1315 is concerning a requirement that carpooling service internet application owners register with the Department of Transportation. The bill summary says this: the bill requires the owner or operator of a carpooling service internet application to register annually. Now, again, when we hear these force words, register, okay? Register annually with the Department of Transportation and disclose to users of the internet application that operational requirements for other transportation services are not being met by carpooling services provided by drivers matched to users through the internet application. The bill also limits, okay, that is another force word, the amount that can be charged to a user through the internet application. It limits, again, force word, the number of passengers that can receive carpooling service at any one time from a driver through the internet application. You can't make this up. And it limits the number of round trips that a driver providing carpooling service through the internet application may make in a single day. What do you think about that, Rick Turnquist?
Well, I think I used the word ridiculous earlier, and I think that fully applies to this bill as well. You know, I'm continually struck by the inherent inconsistencies, the logical inconsistencies, the cognitive dissonance that permeates so much of the progressive agenda. And this is just another example of that. They want people out of their cars, which means that carpooling should be a good thing.
The thing they want to do.
But now they want to regulate it so hard that nobody will want to deal with it. So they're going to have the opposite effect of what they want, which is fewer people in their cars.
Well, they're having the opposite effect of what they say they want.
Well, yeah, what they say they want. Yeah. So what they say they want and what they really want are maybe not always the same
thing. Two different things.
So, yeah, this is just another example of a terrible bill that's wending its way through the State House. I hope it gets killed in committee, but, frankly,
it may not.
It probably won't. And, it's like I've been saying for the last several years, freedom dies a little bit every year in Colorado. And, the best day of the year is May, whatever, when the legislature session winds up.
Yes. And so they say they want people to carpool, but only the way they want to carpool it. So when I say we continue to see the socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, data, healthcare, all these things, this is what we're talking about. So we're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, March Madness is right around the corner, Steve, and Rock Chalk Jayhawk.
Shameless. Shameless.
But the place to watch all the games is Hooters Restaurants. They have plenty of TVs, so you won't miss any of the action. Wednesday is Dine-In Wing Day. All the wings you can eat for $15.99. And try their new roasted wings, delish. They also have these great smoked wings. My favorite, the boneless wings. If you don't want to cook, drop by Hooters Restaurants, pick up dinner to take home, or you can have it delivered right to your front door. Check out my website, kimmunson.com. All my sponsors are there. And there's a landing page for Hooters Restaurants there, and you can get more information. We're going to go to break. We will be right back. Rick Turnquist is in studio, and he has this very important piece at my website, Energy and Mobility, the Democrat War on Modern Life. Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. In studio with me is Rick Turnquist, author, blogger, very good piece on my website, an op-ed that you've written, Energy Mobility, the Democrat War on Modern Life. Once we start to see modern life, things chipped away, and the policies they're putting in place is chipping away at that. But once people really realize what's happened, they're going to go, wait a minute, that's not such a great idea. But Rick, one thing with this whole coronavirus thing, and you know, so much manufacturing that's over in China that's gone offshore, I've thought a lot about it, and manufacturing has moved away from America because we have had policies that have made labor so expensive. And one of the things that has been is being kicked around, proposed, was this forced paid family leave bill. And just give us a quick update on that.
So my understanding, you know, I got an early draft of the bill last week or so. And when I read it, I was like, well, you know, they're shying back from the full blown government program that they've suggested through 4 years of bills, which I wrote about in my piece on family and the battles ahead. But this year, the proposed bill was going to be made basically a government mandate, another force word, to compel private businesses to provide paid family leave, regardless of whether they already do or not. And
require.
Right. So there's an article in the Denver Post, I believe it was earlier this week or last week, which talked about how the family leave bill is in trouble. Two of the Democrat sponsors, disassociated themselves from the proposed bill because it didn't go far enough. You know, they've tried the full progressive version of the bill four times and it failed four times. And then this year they kind of watered it down, but it was still, you know, objectionable. And the progressives, say that doesn't go far enough. So I believe that the paid family leave bill is going to be dead again this year. It may still get introduced, but I don't expect it to make it past committee. And I certainly don't expect it to pass. So, and even Dave Perry, the very progressive editor of the Aurora Sentinel, wrote an op-ed this morning about how this isn't the right time for paid leave in Colorado because businesses and families are under so much stress, and this will just add more stress.
Well, and, you know, there was something in the Denver Business Journal just recently that the amount of new business filings is down, the number of dissolutions of businesses is up, and eventually you start to see the effects of bad policy.
Well, you do, and you see it in places like Detroit, Michigan, and other Democratic strongholds. And, you know, my view is, you know, people talk about the Constitution as if it's a firewall, but, you know, we've seen that the Democrats clearly don't respect the Constitution, and they make laws that go against the Constitution all the time. We talk about, you know, well, at a certain point, we're going to be against what they're doing. Well, you know, my suggestion is, why don't we just not elect them in the first place and elect, you know, limited government politicians, which will tend to probably be mostly Republican, though not all Republicans are limited government types. But let's not elect them in the first place instead of trying to, you know, fight through the courts to repeal what they've done or just not obey the laws that they've put in place or suffer the consequences of bad policy.
And there is a responsibility. There's a civic responsibility for each voter to do that. But I think that there's been so much out there. People are bombarded with all of this stuff. What is true? What is not true? You know, what is the principle? And that's why we do this show and why we do these great op-eds, is so that people can start to really get centered and look at these principles. And we try to look at these as principles versus personalities. Now, we'll look at the principle and then we'll mention something about the personality. And so one of the personalities out there is Bernie Sanders. And it's unbelievable, but producer Steve, it looks like possibly Bernie Sanders might get the Democrat presidential nomination.
Yes, it's being forecast, but I don't know. Unfortunately, in our system, the way things are, the silent majority is the silent majority, and you know, these forecasts come from the noisy population centers around the country, and you know, so that's the way it looks today. Who knows?
Well, I think that what has happened, Rick Turnquist, is, you know, we have had an indoctrination of our kids through the education system. Instead of teaching kids the great things about the founders, certainly they were a human being, so they had flaws. But totally, the education system has focused on those flaws instead of the amazing pillars that they put together to create this modern life that we now are taking for granted. And so instead of talking about character, hard work, virtue, industriousness, instead we want to talk about sex and, you know, sexual orientation and you know, all this kind of stuff. And then, of course, socialist policies. And so this is what you get. And so now the Democrat Party, they have been fomenting this for quite some time. I don't know that they're going to get this genie back in the bottle, Rick Turnquist.
I don't think so either. And you know, for anybody who suffered through the last debate, though I found it highly entertaining, I spent a lot of time laughing, but, you know,
yes,
it's pretty clear, you know, some of the, like, Pete Buttigieg and Michael Bloomberg, you know, they're trying to, you know, say they're not for socialism and they're, you know, they're the moderates in the Democratic Party and whatnot. But let's face it, the Democratic Party is all about socialism, and they have been for decades. And the only disagreement they have among themselves is the scope and the timing. And Bernie Sanders, to his credit, you know, I do not want that man anywhere near the levers of power. But to his credit, at least he's being honest about what his objectives are. And, you know, he hasn't walked back any of his his comments, you know, in defense of and support of brutal dictators like Fidel Castro and what's his name in Venezuela and some of the others.
Hugo Chavez.
Yeah, you know, the guy honeymooned in Moscow and, you know, sang shirtless, "This land is my land," you know. In a Moscow drinking session, he's very open about who he is, and I commend him for that. And it gives us a very clear choice in November if he's the nominee. But I encourage everybody to go to his website and look at how Bernie's going to pay for his major plans and read through that with a critical eye and a questioning eye. And you'll see that his ideas are completely unrealistic, completely unattainable, and completely unsustainable. And think about how things work in modern life. The ultra rich, who he's targeting largely through his plans, you know, they have the capacity and the ability to live anywhere on the globe they want to. And if his plans went into place, which wouldn't be able to happen unless a Democratic controlled Congress was elected, which is another reason why we should vote Republican in November. But you know, if all this was enacted, you would see the biggest flight of wealth in history, and it would plunge our country into a recession or depression that we probably would never recover from. Because once government programs are put into place, they're very, very difficult, if not impossible, to scale back, to repeal. And everything he talks about in his plan would just destroy our country and our modern way of life.
Well, and it's free, supposedly free, very quickly. And, you know, Steve, you've talked about vote buying. He said this, his details are he's going to have college for all and cancel student debt. Well, what if you don't want to go to college? You know, so you have to pay for somebody else's college. It'll cost $2.2 trillion to do that. Expand Social Security. So here he's trying to go for the young people. Then expand Social Security and increase benefits on that. Let's see, housing for all, universal child care, pre-K, the Green New Deal, which would be $16.3 trillion, Medicare for all, and then, as you mentioned, go through all the different things on how he's going to make this happen. But Steve Moore, Patty had pulled this piece, an opinion piece on Fox Business by Stephen Moore. He says, to Sanders, Democrats are economic heroes, are villains, where the Democrats' resistance movement... Where's the Democrats' resistance movement when we need it most? And this is what Stephen Moore said. He said, you don't have to be a right-wing zealot to understand that a man who wants tax rates for some Americans of 50 to 70%, wants the government to run our entire healthcare system, endorses some $52 trillion of spending, that's Mayor Pete's number, not his, supports giving terrorists the right to vote, supports a $15 an hour minimum wage, and proposes shutting down America's oil, gas, and coal industries is a clear and present danger to American prosperity. Where is the Democrats' resistance movement when we need it most? Unseen and unheard. Why is that? I think that pretty well nails it, Producer Steve.
Yep, that goes right down the list. and again, makes your head spin. Something that, you know, Rick had mentioned just earlier, I was having coffee with a friend yesterday, and we were talking about the potential of Bernie actually getting into office. And I guess we both agreed that Congress could keep him in check if the right, you know, all the right factors are there. But I said, all right, so we have, say, 4 years of Congress keeping him in check. Then I go to the thought about the wasted time. 4 years of wasted time of getting anything really accomplished.
Oh, that's an excellent point. Let's see. Well, go ahead,
Rick. Let me just say one thing. The less Congress does, the happier I am. So I'm fine with 4 years of gridlock under Bernie Sanders' Republican Congress.
Well, if they're keeping him in check, yes, absolutely.
Hey, Jason McBride, what do you think about all this? Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management.
I'm kind of with Rick. If Bernie were to get in, the less that we do, the better.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, in general, the less Congress does, the better.
Well, Jason, the markets have been wild. Now, part of it's been, I think, the coronavirus. And when I looked this morning, it looked like the futures were going to get hit again. Do you think it's, I mean, I think it's probably a combination of the coronavirus, the mainstream media really kind of getting that ramped up, but also the possibility that we might have a Bernie Sanders win the Democrat, you know, presidential candidacy for the, and I mean, I think that could be part of it as well. What do you think?
Yeah, it could be a little bit of both. I think, yeah, I don't know. Only the market knows why it goes down. Number one, it was up pretty high, and we hadn't had a correction for quite a while. So either one of those could just be kind of an excuse. But I agree with you. I think, you know, the media is trying to blow up this coronavirus, and you're going to hear that drumbeat because there's their chance. You know, it's like they've got their chance now to scare people, to create that recession that they've been wanting since November of 2016. This is their one shot, and I don't know if they get a recession out of it in time, but they can certainly point out how much the market is struggling, which a lot of people, you know, in their minds connect with the economy.
And whenever this happens, though, I think people seem to forget that there is opportunity. And because the headlines, you know, such gloom and doom, but there's always opportunity. So there's things to be positive about, even when we have this stuff going on, Jason McBride.
Well, that's true. And you just have to keep, you know, watching to see what happens. You know, yesterday, Kim, we started off down about 900. We started to rally. I mean, the market was only down 200 at one point, and the small caps were actually positive. And I was thinking, well, is this where we're going to stop? Because we bounced off the 200-day moving average on the S&P, but then we turned and gave it all back. The volume yesterday was massive. So it looked like the start of kind of the capitulation that I was talking about, but only the market knows when it's going to hit the bottom. And as you pointed out, the futures this morning are down again. So, Kim, what we have to start looking for now is one of those follow-through days I've talked about, which we'll be discussing that over the next few days.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Now, Jason McBride, I'm typically a pretty optimistic person, but as I look at the market, I do get a little knot in my stomach. And I realize that what people should do during this time is sit down with you and your colleagues and do a discovery session regarding their investments, because your own personal economy is the one that really, really matters. And so to get a professional set of eyes on your nest egg is a really important thing. How can people reach out to you, Jason McBride?
Well, there's a couple of ways, Kim. One, you can go to AIR, that's airpresidential.com, or you could just give us a call at 303-694-1600. Now, Kim, you're not going to find my next statement. You're going to be incredulous that I don't want to do so much self-promo. But if you already have an advisor right now that you feel good about and you've worked with, you know, talk to them as well. I mean, you know, going talking to somebody you don't know yet may not be your most comforting thing during a period like this. So always think, if you have a good relationship with your current advisor, that's who you want to talk to as well.
Good idea, Jason McBride. So fasten our seatbelts. We will talk to you on Monday morning after we see what happens today. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. You guys are valued sponsors of the show and greatly appreciate it.
Okay, Kim. Hi, Rick. You guys have a good show.
Okay.
Thanks, Jason.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
We're going to go to break and then we'll come back. Rick Turnquest is in studio and we'll talk about this very important op-ed, Energy and Mobility, the Democrat War on Modern Life. I can't figure out why they'd have a war on our modern life. So when we come back, I'm going to ask Rick Turnquest.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and in studio with me is my good friend Rick Turnquest. He's written this piece that's on my website, kimmunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And it is, it's basically talking about how energy and mobility makes our lives better. That is something that is so important to me. My friend, good friend Helen Raleigh, who grew up in China, said that the freedom to be mobile, the freedom to go where you want to, when you want to, is really a pillar to everyday people being able to thrive and prosper. And there has been such an assault on our freedom of mobility. We now have this narrative that your individual personal car is a bad thing. The internal combustion engine is a bad thing. And actually, it's a very good thing. It has allowed people to be able to go build businesses and take their families to go see, you know, family across the country. And so it's a really great thing about this, our modern life. And so Rick has written this very important piece, and he said he'd written about how we are currently at the apex of human civilization on planet Earth. If we really think about it, everyday people live amazing lives. And he had talked about how the amazing quality of life that even the poorest among us enjoy is made possible by three things: it's limited government, free market capitalism, and fossil fuels. And then at the end of his piece, he described how modern day self-styled progressives are trying to tear it all down. And so in this piece, he's exploring this theme a little bit further. And then he'd done this piece, The Pillars of Modern Life. And you can look at that as well. So Rick Turnquest, why on earth are we seeing a war on our modern life?
You know, that's one question I just can't answer. And I believe, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with the left's mass delusion with regard to climate change. I think that's what's driving a lot of this. And, you know, in my, you know, I'm not a climate scientist. I don't claim to be an expert in the field, but I have, you know, done what research I can and learned what I can about it. And, you know, my impression is that the climate changes naturally over time. It has over the billions of years that we've been here. I think it's very arrogant of us to think that we have more of an influence on the climate than the giant ball of gas in the sky that powers everything, or naturally occurring phenomena. And Stephen Moore and Kathleen White talk about this in their book, Fueling Freedom. You know, our emissions into the atmosphere are minuscule compared to other sources. And carbon is life. I mean, we are literally carbon-based life forms. And, you know, so carbon dioxide, and, you know, it's not a poison. It's actually
life-giving.
It's what we are based on. And, you know, the Earth is actually more green now than it has been in the past, because through the use of fossil fuels, we're not deforesting, mm-hmm. you know, our land. you know, and
we have urban forests.
Right. Yeah. And you know, our modern life is made possible by fossil fuels, and it's the prime mover behind the life that we enjoy on this planet now. But they believe that for some reason that we're changing it, that we're causing the globe to warm, and you know, the globe is perhaps warming. I mean, there's evidence that says it is, but there's also, you know, readings that say it's staying constant.
You know, well, we go through trends. You know, Rick, I wonder, what is the baseline? What is the perfect temperature for Earth? Because here in Colorado, we have fossils of woolly mammoths that walked during the Ice Age, but yet I had the new reservoir that we have in Douglas County, Reuter Hess. I'd gone and toured that, and as we were driving around, I looked over and said, "What's that?" They said, "Oh, those are some fossils from some palm trees." So we used to be tropical, and we used to be ice age. So the point is the climate does change. So what is the perfect temperature these people think that we're going to get?
Right, and the answer is, you know, we're uniquely positioned in the galaxy or the universe, as far as we know, for life on this planet. We're perfectly poised between fire and ice, and the you know, average mean temperature of the Earth has varied over time, and it has changed and gotten warmer in prior epochs without fossil fuel use, without modern industrial society. So I don't believe that what we're doing has anything to do with the changing of the climate, and the truth is that through human ingenuity and through invention and innovation and free markets, we can mitigate the effects of climate change. And just think about, you know, every year the climate changes from, you know, I know it's called weather, but bear with me here. You know, we have four seasons every year: summer, winter, spring, and fall.
So warming and cooling.
And warming and cooling, right? In the winter, we use natural gas to heat our homes, which was produced by the oil and gas industry using fracking technology.
Came from our mines.
Right, yeah.
Creativity,
which
is
unlike vast reservoirs. I mean, people, you know, they used to worry we'd run out of oil, but, you know, by all accounts now we have more oil. We have enough oil to last us for centuries.
Yeah.
And that probably, you know, gets extended out as technology continues to improve. And the, you know, and then in the winter or in the summertime, we use electricity generated air conditioning to cool our environment. So,
and that changed things significantly as well in the industrial age to actually be able to, like in a climate like Phoenix, where people could, you know, go inside and be cooler. I mean, that changed things significantly as well.
Or in the South, where the, you know, with the humidity, it's brutally hot in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And in places like India, where it's very hot, or, you know, so we use technology and innovation to blunt the effects of weather and climate. And if the climate is indeed warming, then we have the ability to mitigate that and deal with that. So, you know, I don't understand why they're doing it. I don't understand why this mass delusion is so strong. And, you know, even some Republicans are buying into it now. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we have to look at where we came from. And, you know, I think in some ways our civilization is a victim of its own success. I mean, we, you know, if we were struggling just to keep ourselves fed and clothed, we wouldn't have the time or energy to quibble about all the stupid things we fight about these days, like biology, you know, or men, women, or women, men, or whatever, and climate, marriage, the role of government, and everything else. And, you know, I think that, you know, 100 years from now, people are going to look back in horror at, you know, the people that say abortion rights or women's rights and the, you know, the ability to kill your baby in the womb is a good thing, when throughout most of human history, babies rarely lived to adulthood. You know, people would have 5-6 children, they'd have huge families because they knew that, you know, 2-3 or more of their children were going to die before they reached adulthood.
You know, Rick, as you mentioned this, in nature, now I know that there's outliers on it, but in nature, moms typically fight to the death to protect and support their children. And so it is astonishing that in quote-unquote modern society that we are using tax dollars to go out and actually abort our next generations. And I think that ultimately it's a very bad policy. It's not only bad on an individual level, But from a societal standpoint, to be using tax money to do this is unconscionable.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's clear that progressives believe that government should be involved in all aspects of human life, like we just talked about carpooling. Mm-hmm. Government wants to be involved in that and regulate that and solve every human problem. And, you know, limited government like capitalism is anathema to them. And but the area where the most concerns me is where they're trying to destroy the modern energy industry in favor of so-called renewable energy. And you know, wind and solar certainly have their place in a balanced portfolio, but they can't replace the base electricity generating load that is fueled by coal and natural gas. It's just not possible.
And just a quick note, when you mention renewable, we've highlighted these two bills, but there is one to force a certain percentage of biodiesel and then also a renewable natural gas. And there's some legislation on that. And that's just not really possible, I don't think.
Well, it's not. And I haven't studied those in detail, but when you really get down to it, if you think about it, fossil fuels are organic because they are derived from living organisms that lived millions of years ago. Mm-hmm. And when they died, they were absorbed into the planet and cooked over millennia to the state they are in now that we're harvesting for our energy use. And in the cycle of life, you know, as organisms now living die and are absorbed into the planet, maybe in a million years from now will be fossil, you know, mm-hmm. will be fossil fuels. And, you know, just you talk about organic as if it's a good thing. Well, if, you know, fossil fuels are organic, they're derived from living organisms.
Well, and you'd mentioned the modern progressives that are so concerned about our modern life, but yet there's such a hypocrisy. Michael Bloomberg, Tom Steyer, Al Gore, if what they say they believed, if it was such a problem, then they would walk their talk. They wouldn't have, you know, these mansions and fly around on airplanes and have motorcades where they drive around. So either it is a problem or it isn't, because if it is a problem, you're sure acting like you don't care.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I would pose this thought experiment for our listeners this morning. I'd say, if you want to live a life without fossil fuels because they think they're evil and they're polluting the planet and destroying the climate and whatnot, then great. Let me make a suggestion. Walk to a wilderness area. You can't drive because that's fossil fuel derived, or even an electric car, which is powered by electricity, which is generated by coal. Walk to a wilderness area with nothing. Not even the clothes on your back, because your clothes come from fossil fuels. You can't take a propane stove because that's fossil fuels. You can't take processed, you know, food because, you know, so go to a wilderness area.
Can't take your phone.
Yep. Hunt, trap, you know, hunt, trap, and grow your food. Weave your clothing out of whatever you can find at hand.
Shelter?
Yep, shelter. You have to build a little wooden lean-to or something, and you'll be burning wood to keep warm, which is actually dirtier than coal or natural gas, and therefore worse for the environment. And when you run out of wood, what are you going to do? So, you know, if you really think about it, it's just we couldn't live as our ancestors lived, nor should we want to. And, you know, we should, instead of hating the fossil fuel industry like Bernie Sanders does, we should be thanking them for, you know, for the people that work in the field that risk their, you know, I mean, safety is the number one priority of every oil and gas company that I know of. But people are still, you know, taking risks when they go to work, just like a carpenter.
Are.
Yeah. And, but, you know, people that are risking their lives to provide energy for us, they deserve to be thanked and welcomed, not spit upon and reviled.
Didn't all of the Democrat presidential candidates hold their hand up and say they support the Green New Deal?
I believe so. I believe they all support it. And you know, Bernie Sanders has said he would ban fracking. You know, he doesn't have the power to do that except on federal lands. But they all are hostile to the fossil fuel generating industries, and they, you know, people should think about what they enjoy in their modern lives when they sit down to fill out their ballots in November.
Well, before we go to break, producer Steve, I'm just thinking about this regarding the the caucuses and all. You know, it might have simplified things if all those Democrat candidates would have had to ride their bike from Iowa, then to New Hampshire, and down to South Carolina. That might be a great visual, producer Steve.
Or at least fly commercial jets instead of...
Oh, they can't fly. Nope. Mm-mm. Nope.
Oh, nope. Flying.
No. Fly. Nope. Can't. No flying. No flying on that. So let's go to break. In studio with me is Rick Turnquist. Check out his op-ed at kimmunson.com, Energy and Mobility, the Democrat War on Modern Life. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com, and you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. We'll keep you informed of all the great guests and things that are coming up. And on the website is this great op-ed by Rick Turnquist. And you have this very well, you know, organized, but you said the left wants to tear all of this modern life down. And you said something about the zealots of every religion.
So, yes, as I said earlier, I believe, you know, the climate change hysteria is a mass delusion, which humanity is subject to from time to time. And you know, it's also very much like a religion, because your climate change believers are impervious to reason. They ignore and suppress conflicting data and dissenting viewpoints and have their own pantheon of saints and icons. Mm-hmm. And if you don't believe me, you know, look no further than the fact that a 16-year-old child from Sweden, who's not a climate scientist or even a high school graduate, is like a high priestess of this faith system, as I call it. And she makes speeches on the global stage, and people hang on her every word as if she were a high moral authority and the arbiter of their climate truth. But because of this unrealistic belief system, they insist that we decarbonize. They want all production and use of fossil fuels to stop. They believe, despite overwhelming evidence to the contrary, that so-called renewable energy sources can completely replace fossil fuels. They want us out of our cars. They want us to use bicycles, public transportation, and our feet to get around.
And you see this in Colorado.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I work in downtown Denver, and I can attest that, traffic downtown is a nightmare. You know, they've taken these streets and limited them down to one or two lanes to provide for dedicated bus and bicycle lanes, and they're doing that in other cities as well. And I like riding my bicycle to work in the summertime, when the light's out and the weather's good and it's
not blizzarding. What about those afternoon thunderstorms?
Yeah,
though?
Those can be a little dodgy sometimes. But at 5:30 in the morning on a morning when there's a snowstorm or a blizzard and it's 8 degrees out, you know, it's just not practical to ride a bicycle for transportation in bad weather. And some people aren't capable of it, whether it's due to, physical abilities or whatever. You know, it's so.
An elderly person trying to get to the doctor.
Yeah. And public transportation has its place, but it's also, it's inconvenient. It's a hassle. It takes longer. You know, if I drive to work, to and from work, I can save a half an hour a day. So, it's not practical or realistic to expect people to take public transportation everywhere they go. And that really brings us to the war on mobility and private transportation. You know, one of the great things about being an American in this day and age is the fact that we own, on average, 2.2 cars per household, and we have the freedom to go anywhere we want, subject only to the mechanical state of our vehicles and how much money we have to pay for gas. And, you know, people can pack up their homes and move to other states if they want to, and people frequently do. I think we'll see that happening more. You know, out migration from Colorado as more progressive policies get implemented.
You're going to sell your house, call Karen Levine at Remax Alliance.
Exactly, right. Talk to Jason McBride before you do it.
Exactly.
And, you know, but it's a, you know, freedom is a real problem for the left. And, you know, they're trying to make it impossible to drive in cities. And, you know, there's an op-ed piece recently published in the Denver Post by Tim Jackson called The War on Cars. And, you know, it's really a zero-sum game because although the city's expanding, it's not expanding its road capacity to keep pace. And it's largely redistributing it to buses and bicycle lanes. So, you know, then they want us to use electric cars. Well, there's a problem with electric cars, too, or so-called ZEVs, zero-emission vehicles. They still use electricity, which is mostly generated by coal. The batteries they use are, you know, carry environmental costs of their own. When I was researching this, I found that they actually drill to find the lithium, so it's kind of like drilling for oil and gas. They're difficult to recycle, and they may not be able to carry enough charge between charging stations, and some studies say they can increase air pollution, and they're a fire safety risk also. But the main thing is that your electric cars are expensive. An entry-level Tesla Model 3 starts at $34,000 and can go to $50,000 to $51,000 for the performance model. By contrast, an entry-level gas-powered Nissan Versa starts at $13,000. If you're talking in terms of a monthly payment for a three-year loan, a Tesla Model 3 would cost you about $1,000 a month. A Nissan would cost you about $400 a month. When you add in the cost of insurance, and in Colorado, you have to pay vehicle registration fees based on the value of the car, which can be hundreds of dollars, you know, electric car is out of reach for most lower and middle and lower class people. Plus, electric cars may not work that well in our extreme cold weather and blizzards that we have here in Colorado.
The battery doesn't keep as much charge.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, that poses a real risk to people, too. If, you know, imagine being on Vail Pass in a snowstorm and your electric vehicle runs out of charge.
What's going to happen?
What are you going to do, yeah. Right? So I'm going to finish today with a call to action. I like to finish my talks and my writing pieces with a call to action. And, you know, my call to action today is don't let them take it away. You've got to stand up to the climate crowd. You've got to stand up for fossil fuels. You've got to defend fossil fuels. There's a great book by Alex Epstein called The Moral Case for Fossil Fuels. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to do so. And also this book, Fueling Freedom, by Stephen Moore and Kathleen White. You know, these take a good hard look at what the benefits of fossil fuels are and why we should defend them. And, you know, listen to what the Democratic candidates are saying. They all want to do with fossil fuel industry. They all want to, you know, ban fracking. They all want to regress us to pre-industrial times. And, you know, there's just no way we can do that without significant human costs.
Well, and, you know, Rick, I think that we generally think that the people that we elect into office have our best interests in mind. And when I start to talk to people about the real effects of these policies, I get this question, but why would they do that? It's like, it's a bit trusting, I guess would be the word. Why would they do that? It's like, I don't know the answer, but I do know the effects.
Well, I think that many, many people that run for public office do so out of a desire to give back to their community or to you know, further their principles and their beliefs. You know, for example, if I ran for office, Kim, and I was elected and I was sitting in the legislature, you know, I'd probably be famous for my no votes because I would not sign on to most of what they're doing. And, you know, the bills that I would sponsor.
We probably don't need any more laws.
Yeah, the bills that I would sponsor to repeal mm-hmm. or, you know, expand freedom, I'm sure would be voted down by the current legislature. So, you know, but I think a lot of people do run for public office because they think they know what's best for society.
Which is a bit arrogant.
And those people are called progressives. They truly believe that they know what's best for you, for your family, for your children, how you should get around, how you should manage your money, how much taxes you should pay. And, you know, they run for office and they will do anything to get into office. And when I say do anything, I mean the progressive infrastructure that we've talked about on this show. You know, they'll do all that to get into office because they truly believe they know it's best for society.
And the founders of America said, we realize that there is human nature and that we are going to create a limited government because a limited government will preserve individual freedom. And what could happen if everyday people could have the freedom to go after their life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness? Steve, you look like you have a quick thought before we sign off.
Only that you guys are just hitting on all the major. Oh, I'm just sitting over here loving it.
Well, Rick Turnquist, whenever you are in studio, it's always a great conversation. It's great to have you here. How can people find out about your blog as well?
So I have a blog. It's called To Advance Freedom and toadvancefreedom.com. And so I've got writing that I, you know, things I publish on my website. And then I have links to all this stuff I've published and podcasts for the Kim Monson Show as well.
Well, it's always great to have you here. You put so much work into these and we have a responsibility. The call to action is to get our brains around these issues and then elect people that espouse those values of limited government and fossil fuels and capitalism.
That's right.
It's great to have you here. Our quote for today is Arthur Laffer. He says, and you can't have a prosperous economy when the government is way overspending, raising tax rates, printing too much money, overregulating, and restricting free trade. It just can't be done. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Monson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Riding high through the mountains, climbing, twisting, turning further from my home. Young like a new